appreciate all of the teachers at times. We'll let Brenda be the official timekeeper. We really need one. But, sir, you can, you know, keep time, too. Just double check her. But she's doing a fine job. And she lets me know when, Brenda, let me know when I got 5, 2, and 1 warnings like that. You know, what you have to appreciate about Charlie is acting like a perfect gentleman. That's what we need to do in discussions like this. Because if we don't, since we have disagreement, things can run into a mess. But if we keep above the mud, like Charlie's doing, this is just a good Bible study. I think we've had a good Bible study so far. He did an excellent job of trying to explain the two passages in the Old Testament. And I'm going to try to go back to those, and we'll look forward to the next speech to him talking about the passage that I brought up in the New Testament. I really think Charlie is a nice man and did a good job, but I don't really think his response is adequate, but I'll let you be the judge after we look back at it. First of all, he pointed out he was right, that in Genesis 19, it was the men of the city, not just one man, that were requesting the two men, or the two angels. And I didn't get all the words that Charlie said. I can't write that fast. But I think what he was saying, and I'm going to use 3 words I did write down. He was saying that they weren't really requesting sexual relations, but they were wanting to check their credentials, the men's credentials, or the angels' credentials. Well, let's look at that. Everybody turn to Genesis 19, verse 5, and let's see if they were just wanting to check the credentials of the two men, the two visitors. In Genesis 19, verse 5, it says, they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Charlie interpreted that to be, check their credentials. But I think we know again that that is an old King James euphemism for to know them would be to sleep with them sexually. For example, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Do we see what knowing a woman is? And when a man knows a woman, it's not just talking about the way we talk about today. We get to know them just by talking with them. In this case, it's a euphemism for sleeping with them sexually. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Then it says in verse 29 of chapter 25 of chapter 4, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. So what we're talking about in Genesis 19, verse 5, when they want to know the two visitors, it's not just, well, we want to sit around a table and talk about football or something like that and get to know them in that sense, or check their credentials. Know them here means they're asking for sexual relations. Now, notice at this point, Charlie made a point about them raping or wanting to rape the visitors. It didn't occur, but they were requesting this. But that was later, Charlie. At first, they're asking for the homosexual relations. It's not rape at this point in verse 5. And Lot says in verse 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. So before they ever ask about or try to rape the men, or even make advances to that effect, to that point, Lot says it's wicked. When they ask for the homosexual relations, not their credentials, but homosexual relations, Lot said that it's wicked. That is before the rape. And so it's very clear from the Sodom and Gomorrah story that homosexuality is condemned. He brought up, Charlie did, my friend Charlie brought up another passage that relates to the Sodom story. And that's Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50. He read that passage, but let's read it again. It says, behold, this was the iniquity or sin of my sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now, from this passage we see that Sodom committed some sins as, for example, they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. We agree with that, Charlie. We agree that Sodom had more problems than just homosexuality. People steeped in sexual sin are usually involved in many other sins as well. And it's no different with the Sodomites. Notice verse 50, though, we just read, says that Sodom was also guilty of abomination. Yes, they were guilty of not strengthening the hand of the poor and of the needy, but it says also they were guilty of abomination. And what did we read was an abomination? Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind, if he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And so it seems to me that it's obvious from Leviticus and this passage taken together that the Sodomites were guilty of other sins, but they were also guilty of an abomination, the sin of homosexuality. Drop down in the chapter also and look at verse 58 about the Sodomites. We're in Ezekiel 16. It says, "Thou hast borne thy lewdness and that abomination, saith the Lord." What does this word lewdness mean? The Hebrew word means, according to Genesius, he defines these Hebrew words. He says it means wickedness, especially used in speaking of sins of uncleanness, such as fornication, rape, or incest. So the lewdness there, and the abomination also, but the lewdness there has to do with sexual sin. Yes, were they guilty of not strengthening the hand of the needy? Yes, but were they also guilty of abomination, homosexuality, and lewdness, a sexual sin? Yes. Genesis 19, 1 through 4 shows Sodom was guilty of the sin of homosexuality, plain and simple. Mr. Earhart, Charlie, said there was no homosexual interpretation of the Sodom story until the 2nd century B.C. That's not true. The faithful Jews all throughout the centuries understood that the sin of Sodom was the sin of homosexuality. From the very point of Genesis 19 on, they understand the story was a story about homosexuality. Okay? The Jews have always understood it that way. And this is a different point, a separate point. But it's been around so long, as I mentioned before, that we get our word sodomite, which describes a homosexual act or a homosexual, from this incident. Sodomite. It comes from the story of Sodom. And it shows how long it's been around in English-speaking people. Next, let's go into more detail about Leviticus 18:22. Charlie did a fine job trying to understand that passage as something different than meaning condemning homosexuality. I think he made some mistakes, though, and let's look at it. First of all, he said the Hebrew word for abomination there is, did you pronounce it topha? Oh, okay. He said it means idol or ceremonial uncleanness. For your information, that's 8441 is Strong's numbering system. Let's look at some other places in the Bible that this word is translated abomination here and see if it only means ceremonial uncleanness. Okay? Did you remember that he said all of these sins mentioned in the context of Leviticus 18 would be an abomination? And I think I agree with them there. What are some of the other sins in the context? Well, adultery is condemned, Leviticus 18:20. That's just two verses before our sin of homosexuality is condemned. Chapter 20, verse 10, that's only three verses before the other passage that condemns homosexuality. These words, I believe adultery is an abomination. Does that mean it's only wrong because it's ceremonially unclean? If I were to go out and commit adultery against my wife, have relations with another woman, and I'm married to my wife, Carol, I'm committing adultery. Is that, well, it's only wrong in the limited sense that it was ceremonially, can't pronounce the word right now, a ceremonially unclean thing. No, it's morally wrong. It's adultery. And it's in the same context. It's called abomination or topha. Also, the sin of bestiality, sex with an animal, is right there in the same context. Would that be only this kind of being ceremonially unclean? Or was that a sin, a serious sin, a moral sin, when a man had sex with an animal? Be sure and let us know the next time you come up. Charlie, you remember in Leviticus 18:21, it says, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch." I believe that's what that's talking about. Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, but people were sacrificing their children to other gods, and they were doing that by fire, burning them. That's in the same context. Is that just ceremony? And that's the only thing that's wrong with that? Ceremonially unclean? Charter? It's in the same context. You said it's described by the same word, this word abomination. Is it only ritual uncleanness? I'll use that. I'm not having problems pronouncing the other word. Ritual uncleanness? Is that all that is, Charlie? This same Hebrew word, which Charlie said would mean only ritual uncleanness and not really morally wrong, is found in Ezekiel 22, verse 11. One had committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. That's adultery. Is that just ritual uncleanness? Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. Abomination, their sons and their daughters they have burnt and fired to their gods. That's exactly the same as Leviticus 18:21, and it's the same word, This word translated abomination, Leviticus 18, is used to describe that. Is that only ritual uncleanness, or was it morally wrong? 2 Kings 16, verse 3, made his son to pass through the fire according to the abomination of the Hebrew, of the heathen. Same Hebrew word. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3, burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen. It's the same Hebrew word. Deuteronomy 27, verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord. So idolatry, is that only ritual uncleanness, or is that morally wrong? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, there are seven things that are an abomination to the Lord, lying, murder, there's a whole list there. Same Hebrew word, which my friend Charlie is saying is only ritual uncleanness, not really morally wrong. Even though you ought to be able to tell, the word abomination usually means not only it's a sin, it's a bad sin, you might say, in our vernacular. It's an extra bad sin. That's what it means, Charlie. It's an extra bad sin. It's an abomination. Ezekiel 33:26, you work abomination and you defile everyone his neighbor's wife. Again, a reference to adultery. But it's the same Hebrew word that Charlie said only means ritual uncleanness. I suggest to you, you can see by the Bible that it means it's morally wrong for a man to have sexual relations with another man. It's an abomination. Morally wrong. And it's an extra bad thing. Not just a sin, but it's an abomination. It's not just ritual uncleanness. Looking at this, how this word is used in the Old Testament, the same Hebrew word, we see that. Are all of the above sins also just examples of ritual uncleanness? I suggest to you that Charlie believes every one of these examples are moral sins, moral wrong, not just ritual uncleanness, including adultery and bestiality or bestiality. Why would he make homosexuality just ritual uncleanness when it's the same word and in the same context? One other point before we move on. The violators of the Levitical censor against homosexuality, remember Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, we've been over those passages, were put to death. Why were they put to death if it was only ritual uncleanness? If it wasn't really morally wrong, why were they put to death? I think we can understand. Now, let's go on something Charlie said. He's talking about this thing is a sin, only ritual uncleanness. We're going to grant that just for a moment, though we prove it's not true. That still means that it was wrong and that the Israelites weren't to do it. Even if that were the case, Charlie, that would mean the Israelites weren't to do it because they weren't to do things that were ritually unclean. Suppose, what I'm getting at is what that would prove is he's admitting then that homosexuality was something they needed to avoid based on what God said, even though he said it's ritual uncleanness. That means if you had the Israelites that were homosexuals, they were not to practice it. If they were born that way, I don't believe homosexuals are, but if they were born that way, they were still not to practice it. Now, I would say it was morally wrong, but Charlie's admitting it is at least ceremonially unclean. Ritually, ritual uncleanness. And they were to avoid it. Now, even his admission then would throw a kink into the theory that a homosexual was born that way. He can't help it, therefore it has to be right. No, he's admitting the Israelites, the men there, had to avoid this because it was ritually unclean, according to him. They had to avoid it. That means they could avoid it. That means they ought to avoid it. And it's the same today, based upon New Testament passages. Whether it was a morally wrong sin or ritual uncleanness, they still had to avoid it. They could avoid it. And so they should. Look at the passage. As I pointed out in my first speech, the sin of homosexuality in the Old Testament, Leviticus, is condemned in the same breath with having sex with an animal. Does that sound like something that's just ritually unclean? Or does that sound like something that's morally wrong? An abomination, an extra bad sin. Now, I'm not going to repeat myself and belabor the point, but you see that each time in Leviticus, both times he condemns a man having sex with another man, and he says, and also, by the way, that's like a man having sex with an animal. They're both wrong. He does that twice. Let's go back to the New Testament to remind my friend Charlie that in his next speech, we want him to deal with the New Testament passage. Remember Romans 1, wherefore God also gave him up to uncleanness. How much time, Brenda? 5 minutes. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave him up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is me. Do you see that both ideas, man with man, what we call gay relations, and also women with women, what we call lesbian relations, are condemned by this? They're right there. These are the terms used to describe those sexual relationships in this passage. Uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use. Remember, the body parts don't fit. It's against nature. Unseemly, error, and homosexuality here is condemned along with fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God. Verses 29 through 31. If you're going to say that it's okay to be a homosexual, in spite of what this passage says, then you're going to have to say, to be consistent, it's okay to be a fornicator, wicked, a murderer, deceitful, and a hater of God, because homosexuality is condemned in this passage along with these other sins. Then we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, we'll get to that in a moment. We looked at the Greek words in depth and their definitions. We won't do that again, but let's read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 from the New King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. A homosexual cannot go to heaven. He cannot be saved. Again, am I saying it's impossible? I'm saying no. As long as he remains a homosexual, whether gay or lesbian, they cannot be saved. They can be saved if they'll repent of their sins and obey the gospel and become faithful. Just like we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. We just read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. In verse 11, it says, referring to these sins, he says, and such were some of you. They stopped the sin. And they can be saved if they'll stop the sin and repent of the sin. Repentance means, I'm truly, not just say it, but truly mean you're sorry you did it and make up your mind you're going to stop. So you can be forgiven. But if you continue to practice the sin, if you refuse to repent of it, you cannot be saved. It says that you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you will not be saved. 2 minutes, Brenda? 3 minutes. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Let's repeat that verse. Simple English New Testament. A little bit more modern translation. Help us understand. We also know this. The law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers. Are all these sins just ritual uncleanness? Are they all okay? Just continue. You don't have to pay any attention to this verse. Murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching. It's found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which you trust in me. This verse says that homosexuality, that teaching, is against the healthy teaching of the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he trusted to me. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 condemns homosexual relations. We looked at, again, Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. The definition of marriage began in Genesis 2:24. Jesus quoted it in Matthew 19. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. 1 Corinthians 7, 2. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Marriage is to be between male and female because sex between male and female is forbidden in the Bible, Old Testament and New. That's why marriage is defined that way. We've already looked at this chart just momentarily. We'll look at it again. Such were some of you. This proves that those Corinthians who had been homosexuals had stopped. When they repented, they were forgiven. They had stopped being homosexuals. And you can too. And if you want to be justified and sanctified by the Corinthians, like 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11 says, you will stop. Now, let me repeat. I'm not here to offend you necessarily. Unnecessarily. I understand that some of the things I might say might tend toward that direction. But I hope that I'm just giving you what God has to say, what the Bible has to say. When we call ourselves a church, or religious, or Christian, what all that means is that we're going to try to follow the Bible. That's what being a church or a Christian means. We're going to try to follow God's Word. And this is what God's Word has to say about it. And it's not Pat Donahue telling you this. I suggest to you that it's God telling you this because I'm reading the Scriptures that prove these principles. I ask you to consider, if you really love God, and I hope you do, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, His commandments are, this is wrong, don't do it. In Hebrews 5 verse 9, it's talking about Jesus. It said, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Yes, we must believe in Jesus to be saved, John 3:16. But we must also obey Him. I encourage you to obey Him in this subject and all other subjects. Thank you very much.